Barbados. This is Lisa Gale, and I welcome you to today's Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. It's also the People's Parliament, where we discuss those critical issues as we approach the general elections. I hope you had an enjoyable resurrection weekend. Barbados did well at the Carifta Games. Congratulations to all those who medaled. A special shout out to Mr. Kyle Gale, who brought smiles to the Barbadian supporters, despite the unfortunate infringement, which cost him his record and his medal. But we know he'll come again. These inexplicable things happen, and hopefully we can learn from them, work doubly hard, and come again. Condolences to those family and friends who lost loved ones on the road during this weekend. It's April 3rd. We've just entered the second quarter of 2018. So far, 28 days have passed since the dissolution of Parliament. We have some special guests here today and some on their way. And these guests will discuss the topic of public and private sector efficiency. How will each political party address this issue or do it differently? And we hope you can share your plans with us today, those who are in the studio and those who are on their way, so that we can get to work more effectively towards national development. In the studio with me, I have Mr. Colin Jordan from the Barbados Labour Party. We also have Mr. Paul Gibson from Solutions Barbados. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning and welcome. Lisa, thank you for having us.
Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Paul. Yes. Thank you for inviting us.
Also, we have Mr. Wendell Callender. He is representing the United Progressive Party. Just to remind you, our call numbers are 434-1790. WhatsApp is 266-IVOB or 266-4862. I look forward to a robust and informative discussion. We hope to hear your calls as you engage us today in today's edition of the People's Parliament. I will be your Speaker of the House and also your moderator. My name is Lisa Gale, and I'm pleased to be with you as we discuss this very important subject. We all hear the arguments that the private sector has a better record in efficiency than the public sector due to its drive toward profit maximization. But here's a quote which I want us to ponder on today. And this came at the end of 2012, and it was captured in a very telling interview with the head of the London Olympics, Lord Coe. And I quote, "The myth of private sector superiority says that the private sector is efficient and dynamic, and the public sector wasteful and slow. That the more we can get the private sector to run things, the better." And notice he called it a myth. So we are going to reflect on that today. And we're going to also look closely at the issue of productivity, the issue of the competitiveness of Barbados, and a couple of other things, how we do things better and how we do things efficiently. And I'm going to just leave here with you one definition, and this is a definition of efficiency, and it implies that in an economic state, which where every resource is optimally allocated to serve each individual or entity in the best way while minimizing waste and inefficiency. And that is when an economy is economically efficient. Any changes made to assist one entity could possibly or potentially harm another. So you have to rejig and fix. And then we're going to look at where Barbados stands in terms of the Doing Business Survey, etc. So this is Down to Brass Tacks. We are going to be with you on the People's Parliament. Welcome again to Down to Brass Tacks. I just want to acknowledge Mr. Graham Vaughan, our producer, and Mr. Kevin Hines, our technical assistant. And we're looking at the topic, public and private sector efficiency. How will each political party address this issue? How will they do it differently? And we also want to look at how can we move to become more effective as we move towards national development. So we have in the studio for three gentlemen, and we are expecting another person. So represented here, just to recap, we have Mr. Paul Gibson from the Solutions Barbados. We have Mr. Colin Jordan from the Barbados Labour Party, and we have Mr. Wendell Callender from the United Progressive Party. And we already welcomed them this morning, and we want to hear from them on this very critical topic. I just want to share with you two things where Barbados ranks as it relates to the Doing Business Survey. I did a couple, you know, just checking again, just to be sure. We have Barbados is actually at 132 on the ease of doing business, and we will go into that. The ease of doing business survey really hears arguments from the private sector on how Barbados can improve its efficiency, and it also hears from persons in public sector and civil society, gets a feedback from those persons, as well as academia. Then on the competitiveness report, we are 72, actually. Barbados is 72, most competitive nation in the world out of the 132 countries. And this ranking is the most recent ranking between 2017 to 2018 edition of the Global Competitiveness Report. And this is published by the World Economic Forum. And these things come into play when we talk about a country and its efficiency, and we look at how we do things, how our systems can be improved, etc. So I'm going to ask one quick question for each person just to start off, and that is, where does your party see Barbados, and what are some of the mechanisms you wish to improve? So in other words, we have a pulse, and there are a couple of things that are of importance to your party. Which are those critical ones within the rubric of efficiency that you're going to be addressing very early on? So I'll start with Mr. Paul Gibson, given that you're to my farthest left.
Good morning, Lisa Gale. Good morning to the constituents of St. Michael South, Bayland, Belleville, Culloden Road, London Road, and so on. We want to say that we, as a party, Solutions Barbados, are intent of ensuring that we get things done correctly. Mm-hmm. We have institutions in our country like Invest Barbados. Yes. We have the BIDC. We have a number of different institutions that are in the space of looking at trade policy, looking at exports, imports, and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. As a party, of course, Solutions Barbados Party, we ask the question, how do you want to differentiate ourselves? How do we want to differentiate ourselves from the rest of the other parties? Mm-hmm. We want to ask ourselves what is efficiency, and efficiency, as from where we sit, looks at the amount of output that results from the inputs. And one of the things that we are finding as a party is that we are having a situation where the output is not where it should be. And we believe that the outputs are not where it should be because of the way that the things are being managed currently. There's an issue of the perception that people get jobs and don't go to work. Okay. You know, and these are things, it's happening both in the public and the private sector. I'm not going to sit here and say that the private sector is more efficient than the government sector. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say that because when you look at things like sugarcane, which has been around for many, many years, that is a public-private partnership. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, right now, canes have not been cut since January. And we ask ourselves, what has fractured that process that is so significant to our economy? Mm-hmm. So there are a number of the different things that would probably come up as we go forward in the program. But these are the thinking is something that we need to look at. And quality management is something that we as a party believe that needs to be examined in this this whole space.
So I hear you in terms of outputs, thinking, and quality management. Mm-hmm. So I'll hear from Colin from the Barbados Labour Party.
Thank you very much, Lisa. I noted that you said at the outset that you are acting as the Speaker of the House.
Yes, I am.
We've had two female governors general. Mm-hmm. We have no female speaker, and I'm sure Barbados is ready in just a few weeks for a female prime minister. So I'm glad that you kind of broached that subject. Okay. I want to say good morning to Barbadians generally, and good morning to those of my constituents in St. Peter, where I live, grew up, went to school. Today we're talking about public sector, private sector, we're talking about efficiency. We live in a Barbados that, over the past, I would say, 5 to 10 years, has shown that we have challenges both in the relationship between the public and private sector, as exemplified maybe more significantly in the actual fracture of the social partnership. But we also have challenges in terms of implementation of decisions that have been made. Implementation, Barbados is not short of ideas. We find ourselves in a crisis situation, but you speak to persons in both the public and the private sector, And there are the ideas, there are many, I don't want to overuse the word solutions, Paul, but there are some options that are available, that are viable, both from the perspective of the private and the public sector. But the challenge has been and continues to be over these last few years, how do we get them implemented? Talking at people does not allow for the implementation or the effective implementation of good policy or good policy solutions. There are the prescriptions, but all too often, all we hear are pronouncements. So there's a pronouncement by a policymaker, and then you go to the persons who are supposed to execute the policy, and they say to you, well, I heard the pronouncement at the same time that you heard the pronouncement. That there's been no planning, there's been no dialogue, we just heard it, but we don't know how it is supposed to be implemented. And then 1 year passes and 2 years pass and nothing has happened. So we have a challenge in Barbados in terms, the challenge begins at the top, where there's policy pronouncement, but then there is no follow-up, there is no guidance, there is no discussion, and the Barbados Labour Party promises to do something very, very simple. We promise to listen and dialogue. That is one of the major issues. When we think about private sector and public sector, sometimes we believe that, sometimes we speak about it, assuming that these are two things. But both the public and the private sector is made up of individuals, human beings. And so as we discuss how to improve efficiency, we are essentially talking about how we get people to work together to achieve the goals that the country has set for itself. And so as a party, we promise to listen and we promise to implement. Listen, dialogue, and then we will implement. The ideas are there, but we need a system of getting things done in Barbados.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Wendell Callender.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. That's good company. That's esteemed company. I'm representing the United Progressive Party. And at the opening, I want to make it clear, I have not come here with any political acts. I have not come here to criticize people just for criticism's sake. And I want to say that the private sector has done a great job in Barbados over the years. But we are primarily concerned that school leavers and young people who want to get involved in business are having a lot of impediments placed in their way. So our focus will be on providing greater opportunities for entrepreneurship and innovation. And we think that for the future, we need to focus on that. It is just like when the Right Honorable, Right Excellent Earl Barrow took over the government in 1961. And he promised that he will give opportunities so that people can get the education that they needed to supply the labor for the various industries in Barbados. And what happened is that as soon as he won the government, he went about implementing it. And I got it from the words of Sir Alexander Hoyas, who said the position of the government was soon too strong to be impaired by carping criticism. It had brought a new spirit of dynamism to the island's administration and had given the people a feeling of expectancy and optimism by the emphasis it placed on its policy for economic development. So we can talk as much as we like, but if people are not prepared to get up and get, we're not going to get all of these idealistic or these perhaps ideal schemes put in place. I want to read another quotation here, because this comes now from, this is another one that comes from, this is F.A. Hoyas. He said, there was no doubt about the public enthusiasm that was created by the new spirit that seemed to be abroad in the land. The new government gave the impression of speed and efficiency, and there was much talk of the dynamism that was to change the character of Barbadian society. UPP comes at this time when Barbadians are crying out for change, fundamental change, real change in the way how we do things not just to talk about them as we do. We talk well, but we are not acting. And I want to make the point. The only point I've got to make, because I'm going to give you facts. In the last period of the Barbados Labour Party, there were brilliant ideas about cultural tourism, and there have always been great ideas. But the ball was dropped during that last period. And not only because, not because of any one person, it was because a group of persons were just focusing on things like the World Cup and things that look glamorous, where they could spend over $100 million on something like that. But ministers were not doing their work. And how would these same ministers who were not doing their work want to come back in 2018 and do the work? How can we have confidence that they can come and do the work? So the question is, we need to look at the available resources we have before us. We are saying to you that the United Progressive Party brings to you people that have wide exposure, wide experience, skills that are relevant to this era. And I think this is supposed to focus. How are you going to have the resources to take on the task?
Okay, so we're looking at resources, speed, efficiency, and dynamism from the United Progressive Party. We're going to look at dialogue, a promise to listen, and implementation from the Barbados Labour Party. And then from Solutions Barbados, we're going to look at a new thinking, quality management, etc. So thank you, gentlemen. I will go right now to one WhatsApp, and this person is asking, one way of efficiency is to improve the sewage project. But thank you very much, WhatsApper. But I'm going to go on to another element of efficiency. I did ask you specifically for some ways in which you can improve as a party the existing scenario. So I'm hearing from you so far that there is a challenge. There's a challenge with implementation. There's a challenge with a lot of dialogue not necessarily translating into action. What are some of those reforms? Because I hear that it is not just a public-private sector. It's not just a public sector issue. It is also a public sector issue. And I'm also hearing, look at some lessons from the Right Excellent L. Walton Barrow. So those are some comments I gathered from the three of you, but I'm going to go right back to you again. I want one specific. What is something that we can do to improve Barbados's efficiency now, when you get into power? So long as, or let's say we had elections. Elections were on the 29th of April. I'm making a supposition here. Okay. Suppose elections were, and your party, each of you, your party was successful. We are going to move towards improving Barbados's efficiency, both in the public and the private sector. What is that one element that I can hear from you, from your party, that you're going to implement as soon as possible? So, Mr. Paul Gibson.
Okay. Well, we believe, first of all, that in approaching any project, and you mentioned the sewage project just now,
yes.
You need to do your research. You need to find out what needs to happen on the ground. We believe, for example, that we want to permanently, one of the issues that we have is the issue of wastage in Barbados. We've had situations where people have moved on from Barbados onto other jurisdictions and other states because of the onerous nature of trying to start up business in Barbados. We've had them move on because somebody's hand was pointing at them. We've had situations where they weren't being listened to.
Okay.
And so we talk about the ease of doing business. And if you have a situation where people are not taking the suggestions as they're given, but are asking for more, that is a problem. And people are saying, no, we don't operate business like that. I'm moving on.
When you say asking for more, you're talking about?
Well, I want to say that there's an estimate internationally where they believe that doing business in Barbados costs about 30%
more than it should. And that's based on?
And what that results in is that runs people. It means that the cost of doing business goes up.
Right, but before we get to what the impact is,
yeah.
What could be the possible cause that you would then, as a root, seek to root out?
Well, it comes right back to our policy of eliminating corruption the system.
Okay,
we don't want to legislate integrity, because you cannot legislate morals.
Yes.
But we want to make sure that any policy that we present has no backdoors for escape. We read in its totality the policy presented by my colleague next to me, where when we drill down into that policy that is being proposed, there are so many backdoors that results in things like people getting away from being charged or whatever. And these are things that we have to look at. The whole matter of the tendering system in Barbados, again, is something that is pushing and putting pressure on the public-private relationship, because there are situations where the methodology of tendering, where you are supposed to, in the current situation, a tender of $100,000 or more is split into multiple parts and doesn't come under the scrutiny and the eyes of a tendering process. I'm aware of one situation where in a particular government department, there was no box for it to receive a tender. There was no box to receive a tender.
And
the tenders were being placed on somebody's desk, right? I mean, there are some very fundamental things that we need to address. And
so deliberately drilling down,
yeah,
you are going to tackle the issue of public procurement.
Public procurement and corruption in the public space.
But the corruption is not the issue. Or should I shouldn't put it that way.
You're saying corruption is not the issue.
No, I shouldn't put it that way. But I know what I mean.
Yeah, I know.
I'm asking you to drill. So the policy that the Solutions Barbados will address,
yes,
is the way how public procurement, how the methodology works, so as to root out the potential for corruption.
For corruption, which is one of the key areas. We're talking about public partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not talking about the barriers and the hurdles to those partnerships, BPs, okay, or Bolts or whichever,
yes,
right? And many times it could be that you turn international investors off or even local investors off because of the onerous demand, mm-hmm, that somebody's palm be greased.
Okay, so
yes?
I take your point clearly. The methodology then will be tackled from Solutions Barbados.
Absolutely. As one way. We have many other ways, but
yes,
I'll share that one.
Only one. Yes, Mr. Yeah. Colin Jordan?
We are going to the Barbados Labour Party. Will be addressing the matter of integrity head on and immediately upon assuming the reins of governance in Barbados.
As a means of integrity?
Integrity, because we have to get at the root of, and Paul referred to it, the cost of doing business in Barbados includes the cost.
Graft.
The graft.
Yes.
So we have to get to that. But that also, that graft, that issue also is impacting on investment in Barbados, not just the cost of doing business, but also actually getting investment, because there are persons who are refusing to invest because they do not want to grease the palms of anybody. And they should not be expected to do that.
Correct.
So integrity legislation is something that we will be vigorously pursuing immediately. Paul spoke to loopholes. You know, Parliament is set up to discuss these matters, and an effective Parliament will discuss. But before we get to Parliament, we will go through. He may have seen a draft of our policy. That policy is being tweaked as we speak.
The draft legislation
okay, is being tweaked.
It has to be.
And that will be, Paul, nothing is perfect. And if you're expecting us to have a perfect policy 6 months before an election, we are working on that legislation, because that legislation is going to be a fair piece of legislation, but it's also going to get to the root of the issue, the issues of integrity and graft and corruption that impact how the public sector is able to deal with private sector investment. The Barbados Labour Party will also address the matter of productivity pay. Because
you only asked for one. What is that specific issue,
mm-hmm,
that the Barbados Labour Party will address as a means of improving public-private sector efficiency towards national development? And you mentioned fixing the integrity legislation.
Yeah, integrity legislation is maybe the most important piece of business that we will have to address immediately to restore the confidence both of the private sector, those who want to invest, but also the confidence of the public sector. Because public servants are proud of their jobs, and public servants resent the corruption and the graft that they're seeing being exhibited at this point in the country.
Yes.
So a lot of them are demoralized.
Mm-hmm.
And so addressing the matter of integrity and corruption will restore business confidence. Mm-hmm. It will also restore the confidence and improve the efficiency and the productivity of persons in the public sector space.
Okay. Mr. Wendell Kellner from UPP.
I would like to crystallize my point into one. It will have a few different wings attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me say that we are concerned that Barbados is going downwards, and just downwards with all these downgrades. And I think that to come into a government and just be tinkering with things, it's not the ideal way to give confidence to the average person out there.
Tinkering?
Like all these little things we're hearing, but that is tinkering. But I believe you need to look at fundamental things, such as strengthening the institutions of government. And we are doing that by means of...
Tell me one institution that you're going to strengthen as a means of moving towards public-private sector efficiency.
Well, there are so many of all those institutions that get in people's way of doing business. I mean, when you have to do business and you have to go here, you have to go there, mm-hmm. you license an authority trying to get certificate, you got to wait 2 weeks. There are so many of those institutions that have to facilitate business.
Mm-hmm.
There need to be change, and need to expedite matters. And we can use platforms, information technology platforms,
mm-hmm.
In order to expedite the business, because we can't be at 132 in the index of doing business. I mean, we have to be
at least. It's actually 72 out of 132.
No, I mean, but the number, the placement of the number is 132.
72.
We were 117, then 119. We have gone now to 132, the ease of doing business.
Ease of doing business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've gone down. Mm-hmm. How can a country that wants to do well in the world, to be competitive, fall down to 132 in the ease of doing business? So mm-hmm. right away, just as Albert did, we need to hold the bull by the horns and say we have to, not 2 weeks, that has to be done in a day. No, but these things have to change. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the first thing we have to do. Albert said, let's have free education, mm-hmm. and it will happen. We are saying, ease up the people, let them be able to. I wanted to register a school some years ago, and it took me 6 months.
I think
you
that,
should be able to do things much faster.
Before I get rebuttal, it's not going to happen in a day. But I
know not we're going to do it in a day.
Means
but I mean
that
the first,
is the target.
That's why Barbados needs realistic people who lead and manage the affairs of state.
Let me explain to Mr. Callender.
Because I'm not coming to be confrontational with him.
Let me say what you've said, and then we go to the phone lines, and then we come back and allow you to do your rebuttals. He said, and I think it's a very strategic thought, he's going to use the IT platform among a number of the business facilitation entities so as to improve the way they relate to the public. Am I clear that that's
yes,
what you said?
Thank you very much.
We have a number of calls on the board, and we're going to go to the first call. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. Now, first of all, let's do the source project. The source project here, we have lots of waste in the source project that is blocking up the filters. And it's overflowing and going, you know, in different directions. It comes
waste
from
in the sewer system.
Sewer system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the sewer system years ago, we still got lots of canes and grass and everything that's filtered the water that going from the third plateau to the Sarada Village, the second plateau Rendezvous, and then to the lowest plateau Graham Hall. And now we have lots of houses, restaurants, and you know, different hotels and everything. And the source from all those places, like in Kent, Regency Park, Sarada Village, everything is going out into Graham Hall Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
They have lots of plastic, lots of different toxins that are blocking up the filtering process that's going there. What we need to do, first of all, is to be able to clean around the source project, the plant, the filters in the source plant. We need to move some of the stuff in the canals just above, like Big B and other places, so that the water be able to flow and duplicate itself. And we need other things to, like, tell the people, instead of throwing so much toxins and so much, like, plastic and so into the sewers, to put them in the garbage. Because when they go from this plateau, when the rain falls, you can wash everything down to the swamp. And you can't go no further. You realize that they have started to dig. that's only a minute solution. Mm-hmm. But the other solution would be to put like a something like a big pipe straight two miles or 3 miles straight out to the sea.
So could I ask you your experience in working on sewage in the past?
My friend, I live in Sargent Village, and I work with my stepfather in land in soil conservation. That's the Bill Gabriel's to help keep Barbados together.
Okay.
I work at Intel, and I know what I dumped.
Lovely.
And I went to school at Foundation, mm-hmm. and I know exactly what I'm talking about. I grew up in the swamp.
Okay.
I grew up in Sargent Village, and I know all, you know, I know every crease and crevice in the Sargent Village, every, you know, whole.
Have you had a chance to interact with persons from the Barbados Water Authority to share your views?
Mom, as Brenda was saying just now, many people don't want to hear your views because they feel like you're too small.
No. I asked you, have you had an opportunity to share them, because you sound as though you're talking with sense?
Mom, I haven't had the ultimate opportunity. So that's why I'm using, you know, this opportunity to tell the world what goes on.
Even although this is People's Parliament and we are addressing the issue of public-private sector efficiency today?
Correct, ma'am. Even although. Because the reason is, and another thing is, that one hand cannot clap. It's not about the government, the Labour Party or Democrat Labour Party. It's about unity and strength. Both of them have great ideas. Mm-hmm. Let them come together and make the country rise to prosperity. Not only looking for power, you're looking for money and we're putting on one. Like, that is not what it is going to be.
So I'm hearing you say then you are looking for a coalition then, where all the parties should come together.
And see eye to eye, because the people are the government, but they are the ministers that we have elected to serve us, not to boss us.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I think everyone in this room has come with the intention to serve, and I thank you for your very important comments, and it would be good if we can have an interface between him and persons from the Barbados Water Authority, because he, according to him, he has born in that area and he knows the ins and outs, and oftentimes we sometimes take for granted something called traditional knowledge in international trade policy. It is a valuable asset that countries must take into consideration. That thing called traditional knowledge, they may know the caves, they know the tributaries, they know the back points, and they can help some of the same consultants and persons who are working in some key strategic offices to sometimes come with better solutions than what they themselves have envisaged in the first place. We have another caller. This is down to Brass Stacks. You are on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Along with my panel.
Yeah. Okay, glad to hear that. We really, what you call about this morning, we really want serious people like the Barbados Labour Party to run this country and get things rolling back again.
And not Solutions Barbados and UPP? Nor Democratic Labour Party?
Nope. Okay. I think the best people right now is the Barbados Labour Party, man. Because all my years I was living in this country, Barbados was never like this here. Mm-hmm. And if you want goodness out of people, you got to be able to treat people good. And right now, people ain't getting treated good. People working on a lot of stress and people living right now on a lot of fear.
And you believe that the Barbados Labour Party is the government for the future?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's the only
government
for the future. You're not entertaining that discussion about the coalition, the potential coalition?
No.
Okay. Any other further points?
I feel Miss Martley is a woman that I love. Mm-hmm. And I know that she could get here, bring back the way how it was years ago.
Okay.
We don't want Barbados the way it was years ago.
I thank you for your comments. I'm going to get a reaction from my panelists.
Yeah, I want to say first of all that we have the solutions. Barbados Party has 26 candidates coming in the next election. We have people with over 25 years experience in running businesses and so on. The Barbados Labour Party and the upcoming election has 18 new members of their party who have never been ministers before, which makes them a new party as far as we are concerned. So we saw what they did in 2000, well, for the 14 years that they were in government. My point is this: what we need are people that can execute and get things done. One of the things that we have on both parties, the traditional parties, there are examples of wastage there are examples of not enough jobs or even departments being set up and not being run efficiently. And I like to bring attention to the Invest Barbados. If you ask that organization, how many companies between when it started and current they brought to this country in terms of a quantum and what value resulted in their interactions with the rest of the world, we're going to get some startling figures. On the other hand, if you look at how much was spent on that organization in housing people over in foreign jurisdictions, in giving them warm clothing allowance, in feeding them and driving cars and so on, and compare that to the amount that we have received back as a Barbadian people, okay, they'll be shocked. Yeah, and so we need to really be looking at, we're talking about efficiency this morning. There are areas of trade shows, education, research, Alzheimer's research, diabetes research. And these are real issues that are affecting us globally. And so we need actually a mental shift in the way that we are thinking about the development and partnerships between private and government. The question is, where do we need to be in 15, 20 years? We have the Skills for the Future project that was done by the IDB, where they, a five-year project. And what they did, they created a blueprint for Barbados where they suggested to Barbados, here are some of the areas that you need to be looking at in terms of technical and vocational studies and so on. And they looked at advising the government in terms of emerging industries and policies. When you look at a company like LensTech, which is a great example of a public-private partnership, we see that not only is it a local company, but it is exporting internationally. And they're bringing a lot of international dollars into Barbados. No, that's just a perfect example of what we're talking about. We need to really re-examine what the outputs that we're getting for our investments in sugar, in technology, solutions. Barbados has a strategy when we assume government to develop a ministry called STEAM Innovation, which is looking at science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, and looking very seriously at not just having one desk in a corner looking at innovation, but we want to make sure that the scientists and mathematicians and so on in this Barbados are taken seriously and that their concerns are brought in and steamed down and innovations are generated that can result in international investment in this country. These are some of the things that Solutions Barbados will do for its people.
Thank you, Paul. I'm going to go to Wendell, given that the caller specifically said it wanted the Barbados Labour Party. I don't think Colin could answer anything there because Colin fully endorses him.
Yeah, no, I endorse him. But what we want to just to add to what he is saying, the Barbados Labour Party in this 2018 election will be offering a mix of experience and new candidates. Our team of new candidates are probably some of the most experienced in their various areas of endeavor. And we will be offering to Barbados a team that I personally consider, even though I'm not in my 80s, I can't profess to have been around forever, but it has the blend of persons who are experienced in the public sector, in the private sector, who have led departments, who have led organizations, people who have been successful in varying fields of endeavor. And I think that is what Barbados at this point is really crying out for. That an organization that does not come without experience, but an organization that also comes bringing new ideas out of the box. So we have persons who are maybe halfway in the box, persons who are totally out of the box. And in that confluence, in that discussion, in that distillation of ideas will come the kind of roadmap that Barbados needs to take us forward. And I think having that mix is really what Barbados needs at this point in time.
Okay. I would hear from Mendel, and then we go to a caller. Yeah. We have a caller on the line.
Lisa, I really want to respect the two callers that are calling. I want to deal with the first caller. He said he went to a foundation. I went there my first year. Most of my family went there too. Maybe you went there too, I'm not sure. Anyway, but he made a good point towards the end, particularly that I could identify with. When he spoke about collaboration, coalition, or whatever you might choose to call it, and perhaps at this time, Barbados might need something like that. But I want to say that after the problems of 1991 and the early 1990s, it was felt prudent to have the social partnership, the tripartite arrangement, because we understood that in order for Barbados to avoid things like devaluation and all that, we could no longer afford to be combative. We needed to work together. So therefore, we had the CITUSAB, the trade unions and staff association, that coalition. We had the private sector association, and we had the government. And they worked together to hammer out what were the issues and how could they come to an agreement as to how to deal with them. So that spurt of cooperation helped Barbados through a troublesome period. Regretfully, what I've found is that the adversarial approach has crept in, not only nationally, but among the organizations, the individual entities themselves, which was not the case, because I sat on the social partnership some years ago, and there was that spurt of cooperation. Therefore, I don't want to go into detail, but we've had problems within the sectoral groups themselves, and also nationally, where we are finding that instead of government trying to cooperate with the social partners, there's more of a combative approach. And that didn't happen under Sir Lloyd Sandiford, or in Arthur knew when to be combative. But he also understood.
That didn't happen, and Sir Lloyd is the famous one that said, like it or lump it.
But in terms of, that was in Parliament, but and he was talking about a different context.
They
but
were
in
adamant,
terms,
and I was adamant too.
No, but in terms of the.
In terms of the coalition,
in terms of the social partnership, he was able to work, because the social partnership was only developed towards the end of his term, but it served, they worked together. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying it continued to work very well, but in more recent times, that is. So the first thing we need to do is to come ready to negotiate and to talk to people. And you can't be holding your cards.
So it's a more conciliatory approach.
Conciliatory approach that will work. Yes. Conciliatory and one involving consensus, where we include other partners out there in the community, like community organizations and so on. There were plans to incorporate them in the social partnership, but there has been a long delay in that. So we need to bring everybody on board. We are all going to sink or swim together. And most likely, looking at me going to sink. So we need to cooperate, and this is the first thing we want to do.
Okay, I'm going to open the phone line shortly. There is a ranking I must share with you. We just mentioned that Barbados is 132 on the ease of doing business ranking. And if I may share, our counterparts in the region, St. Lucia ranks 91, Jamaica ranks 70, Trinidad and Tobago ranks 102. And Grenada ranking just below us at 142. And the general, the regional average in the Caribbean is 55. So we are below the average at 132, actually more than doubling the average, nearly tripling. And this is a startling figure. And as we take a look at where we have been 5 and 10 years ago to where we are now, Barbados has significantly, we've slid down and we've had a slide too far down. And we have to do something about it. And we're here to hear from the political parties, how are they going to improve the public-private sector efficiency, et cetera. And I can tell you, Jamaica had single-handedly moved up. They were below Barbados for many years. And they have taken a decision, we are going to improve our metrics in all categories. They have brought on board, of course, we know the IMF based on the economic challenges that they've had. But they have also done some other work with respect to their public-private sector efficiency, and they have seen significant change over the years simply because they saw the challenge, they identified it, and they put mechanisms in place to bring bring Jamaica up to where Jamaica is now. And Jamaica is now boasting at 010067.27 with a rank of 70. Whereas Barbados is 132. And I deliberately compare because we were above Jamaica before. And so I'll stop there and I'll go to this one.
But Lisa, that calls for decisive leadership, huh?
It does. And not just leadership. Well, leadership for sure. But it calls for an implementation mechanism, a deliberate attempt to make something happen and to look at. I remember when we brought the Minister of, he was Economic Affairs, he was Minister of Economic Affairs of Trinidad in 2013 to address the Chamber of Commerce. And he shared why they moved up as well. They determined there were four things that they wanted to do. They got all of the ministries and agencies together that impact on these particular standings, and they said, this is our agenda. And every single month they were working towards, and by 4 months, they were able to move. And the rankings have things to do with starting a business, dealing with construction permits, getting electricity, and a couple of things. And they saw where their weaknesses were, and they made sure every single ministry or agency had to report and say, why are they doing something in 3 months? And there were entities where he said people were literally duplicating efforts. And that's how we get to remove efficiencies, by looking at the, how do you get this process done? What's working here? What is not working here? I'll go to the phone lines. Good morning, Mr. Farley.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to the People's Parliament.
Thank you very kindly. I feel strange having anything to do with Parliament.
I think you spent a number of your days in Parliament before.
A few. I'm not making any application. I wish all the gentlemen there well.
Been there, done that.
I'm not applying for any post there whatsoever.
Okay.
Duly noted.
We are talking about a very important factor, an area that you work in right now in your capacity as Executive Director of the Institute of Chartered Accountants of Barbados, and you know the issues as it relates to productivity, the issues as it relates to efficiency, competitiveness. What are your thoughts, Mr. Farley?
I think a very interesting subject. I want to congratulate all of the panelists there for the presentation so far. I want to introduce one other word, effectiveness, because this has to do with your goal orientation. What is it you're really trying to achieve? You could be very efficient at achieving all of the wrong things. And have you really achieved anything? And I think that we have to remember that at the end of the day, we have to earn our way in the world through the exports of goods and services. But remember that other countries are out there trying to earn their way in the world, sometimes selling the same goods and services. So we have to, and even if in terms of attracting investment into Barbados, we have to, the other countries, some in our region, some halfway around the world, that is seeking to attract. So even if we don't make these improvements for our own sake, and or not for our own sake, but based on our own internally driven quest for excellence, we have to recognize that it's a game of survival. As a business analyst, Lisa, you will be familiar with the Porter's Five Forces analysis, usually done for businesses, but it needs to be done for countries. We need to look at who are our rivals, who are our competitors in our space. So Jamaica, Trinidad, half around the world is Mauritius. In the international financial services sector, you have Bermuda and Cayman and so on. What are the threat of new entrants into our space? We've been in tourism for a long time, but we have Dubai as a new entrance into tourism. You know, we have to keep looking around. What are the threat of substitutes, the bargaining power? There are many price takers as far as things go. So we have to really look around and see what others are doing. And that's why the reference you made to the ease of doing business is an important metaphor for our relative attractiveness. And I know that the index is not perfect, so I don't want anyone to start now dissecting the index. The fact that it is imperfect, all the other countries in the world are subjected to the same imperfection. But it really, for me, says to us that these are some of the areas where we are scoring worse. That these are the low-hanging fruit. We need to go in and change them. We were ahead of Jamaica in that index and a few others, and Jamaica has flipped. They are where Jamaica was, and they are where we are by deliberate action. So hence, effectiveness. We need to determine this is where, these are the things that are important. For me, what is important? And ICAB has been speaking on these matters now for the past several years, but we clearly need to strengthen the business environment. I think one way of doing that, and Britain did this about 10, 15 years ago under Tony Blair, they looked at how can government get out of the way? Because the truth is that sometimes, and especially in the modern situation, it is not so much that government always needs to lend a helping hand by doing something, but it needs to remove some stumbling blocks out of the way by removing some regulation or some unnecessary applications, and to the extent that they are necessary, one should be able to go on the internet, check to see what is required, that when you turn up at the office with the application, you don't, a clerk doesn't say, but you don't have this, or you have to come back. the kind of things that get in the way. We have to be more process-driven. Every department should be required, as it is in England, to map out what steps are required and look to see how can we reduce the number of steps required to do anything. They also made a ruling that they will review all regulation that was there. They found that there were some from World War II. There was a man that was paid to stand as a lookout on a lighthouse looking for incoming war planes. Now, clearly, with technology, that's no longer that was no longer required. But they also put a sunset provision that any new regulation had to be reviewed. In fact, it fell dead in 7 years. If you wanted to keep it, you had to justify keeping it. And many ways, not the government institutions intend to do harm, but things just remain on the books and they get in the way. So I want to say that improving the effectiveness of the public sector is important. So that brings us to public sector reform. It's been various reform initiatives, as I say. We often don't think of the filing of taxes online as public sector reform, but that's a great example of how things have improved. And again, least anyone says that I am unnecessarily praising the BRA, it is not the BRA's fault that we do not get our tax refunds. They have to wait to get cash from central government to pay. But the reality is that we don't have to stand in a long line with paper in our hand to file our taxes. For those who are employers, they can file the NIS online as well at the port through customs, through the Asicuta system, great system. And there are other areas in which we can use technology and improve the business process to make it easier for people to do business. If you think, Lisa, of the cost of having a messenger running up and down, dropping off forms here, standing in the line there to pay this, to get that. Imagine being a one-man business, or you and your husband own a business, and you have to be the marketer, the technical expert. You have to deal with the accounting, and to run around with that. Yes. If it costs the big businesses and it's a stranglehold on small businesses. So we really need to push the public sector reform. And finally, so that you can get some comments in, we have ready to create a performance culture. One of your panelists mentioned the whole idea of incentive pay. We have to look at incentive pay in the public sector and more widely in the private sector, because you're quite right. There's no perfect private sector and imperfect public sector. There's a bit both in each one. But clearly, there has to be there are models out there that exist where you can measure things. The things that get measured are the things that get done. And if I know that at the end of the year, based on my flat pay and my incentive pay, that treating customers well, finishing my task on time, avoiding a loss at my enterprise will result in a bonus pay. Those are the things I will focus on. If there's no difference one way or the other, if I'm internally driven and I want to do well, it will still get done. But if I'm not quite as internally driven or not really bothered one way or the other about getting it done, well then it doesn't get done. So we have to, in the private sector, make sure there's more performance pay. There is some, but there needs to be more. And in the public sector, we need to change our regulations to permit that. And it would ensure that the things that the public wants to get done actually get done. Those are my initial comments on the subject, please.
I think those are some very good thoughts. Thank you for your intervention. I would open up the floor to the candidates to get a response from them, and then we will take a break.
Okay, I Paul Gibson, Solutions Barbados. I'm so happy to hear about Jamaica, because I lived in Jamaica for 16 years. Colin mentioned earlier that we have candidates that have international experience. I would have done presentations in Brazil and Mexico and so on to different persons and so on. And for exactly the same reason, we need to very clearly identify what the hurdles and hoops are. What are those things limiting us from actually being successful in the area? Now, I lived in Jamaica when it was so difficult to do anything. The money was so much to walk.